Michael, Pastor Michael from St. Holman. Let's give him a big round of applause. Hey, thank you. Honestly, I only came here for that. For the applause, yeah. Who else just feels it's a huge honor to be part of Glory Live, right? It's really something special, isn't it? It really is something special, and that's how we feel too. We and Austria feel the same way. It's truly amazing. And we've been thinking about it a bit, at least I have, and I think it's been, 2 years since we first prayed together, and as St. Polten, we decided to join this bigger Glory Life movement. And it wasn't just some random idea because we thought, hey, we just like driving. Well, we're already doing that, but there was more to it than that. There was really more to it. And God simply gave us a vision for our city of Saint right at the beginning, even in St. Polten. And then when we asked, he and Pastor George had exactly the same vision, but he completed it. So we actually saw a river coming over the train station in St. Louis, St. Polten, and that simply marks the beginning of a city center for us. And Pastor George then saw that this stream we saw originated from a larger stream. Amen. And I think that's simply important in the present time, that we, as we heard before, position ourselves correctly. That we not only position ourselves correctly according to the word, but that we also position ourselves correctly in general. And so in the past few weeks, we've also entered into this stream with repentance. We're really there. We've plugged in. We've entered in because we noticed it. And we still notice that there's truly an anointing on it. Right now, on repentance, there's such a power, such a strength right now where we've noticed that things are coming back together that had been separated, but actually belong together. Has anyone ever seen something like that, where things that really belong together were just separated? Now's the time. Right now, there's just such an anointing on it where we can sense, hey, things are getting realigned. And repentance ultimately means turning back. It means turning back, but not just in spirit, not just as a good idea, but repentance. It actually means that you turn back. It's not just a theoretical thing. I'd like to repent, but I don't actually do it. But it's actually something where you say, hey, you're turning around, you've gone your own way, you've realized it's the wrong way, but then you've decided to simply follow your way again. Amen. That's buzz. That's buzz. And we notice that there's an anointing on it now. And repentance was kind of, I don't want to say the topic, but it was the first thing I meditated on in the Word of God. Because I didn't understand it at all. Because I really didn't understand it at all. Why? There are two Bible passages I just want to mention. The first Bible passage is in Acts, chapter 1, verse 24. Here, Luke is talking about the situation when Judas Iscariot, he left the office of apostle, as it says there. He left the path, he strayed, it literally says, from the office of apostle and went to another place. So he strayed from his path to go to another place. In the second Bible passage that was mentioned is Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 16 to 17. There, he talks about Esau. And Esau lost his birthright to Jacob. Let's put it that way. He simply gave it away to him. And then it says there, he sought it, but he didn't find the opportunity for repentance. He did not find this space of repentance, although he sought it with tears. Amidst tears, he did not find this space. He didn't find them. Hey, we know that buses have absolutely nothing to do with your feelings. Amen. It has absolutely nothing to do with your tears. And I always thought, hey, you cry so much at bus. And the more you cry, the more authentic it is. And the worse you feel, the longer lasting the repentance. You really have to feel like a worm. And if you even feel pain while doing it, then it's absolutely perfect. If the pain somehow turns you around so that you repent, you know what I mean? But that has absolutely nothing to do with the Word of God. But in both Bible passages, the Greek word tapos is used, meaning space or place. And that really got me thinking, you know? And as we just heard earlier, there is the way you position yourself is the way you enter into a spiritual space. For example, healing, that's a spiritual space. You enter into a spiritual space. And the crucial thing is simply this. It's not just how you position yourself, but ultimately which path you take to get there. And then there's this Bible passage, Romans 3:21 and following. And there, Paul says, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed." But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed. And this but, do you know this but? No matter what situation you're in, God always has a but for you. You notice that often? God says, no matter where you are, no matter how difficult, no matter what your situation is right now, whether it's financial, your health, or your body, there is always a higher authority, and that is from God. Amen. This is from God. And we simply accepted that no matter where we are inside, we always know there's another level above, and that one's called but. God says, that's just how it is, but we have, I think you have, Ephesians 2, verse 8, quoted. Before it says that we had the will of the flesh and of thoughtful acts, and were by nature children of wrath, and now comes God but. Amen. The one who is rich in mercy and has loved us, period, has given us new birth, has raised us up with him, and has allowed us to sit with him at the same time, to the right where authority resides. Amen. So that's his but. He always has a solution for your situation, no matter where you are in it. But according to Romans 5:17, we already reign in the Spirit. And that's his but. And he says, but now, apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed. Namely, God's righteousness. So he says, it is testified by the word, it is testified by the law, testified by the prophets, but it has come apart from the law. Namely, God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's when the whole story breaks. It's like studying the epistle to the Romans, because I realized, hey, now history breaks. Now the whole history of the world breaks into this now, a different time, into another time. Now God's righteousness no longer comes through sheep, goats, and whatever else, which were a foreshadowing of the one sacrifice, but now you receive it without bringing anything, but you grasp it by faith. Amen. You grasp it in faith. And then he continues, God's righteousness, but through faith in Jesus Christ. For all who believe, because there is no difference, for we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely. Let me say freely, by his grace, let me say grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 25, this is what really got me thinking. In my translation, it says, he set him forth as a place of atonement. And it doesn't use the Greek word topos here, but it simply means the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. But ultimately, it is the place of covenant. It is a place. God placed him there. The point I want to make is that God defines paths in our lives that lead to places in our lives. And they can be places where we receive healing, where we receive financial abundance, where we receive miracles. And that is the path God wants us to take. Bus is your tool to stay on this path. Amen. Let's say character. Repentance is related to character. Repentance has a direct impact on our character. In Matthew 13, as you all know, there's the parable of the four types of soil. And it says that some of the seed that was sown fell along the path. And the path was simply trampled down, packed hard, so the seed couldn't take root. And the ravens, that is, the devil, stole it away. It's crucial that we know this. I've completed an incredibly smart course of study, and there they explained to me that some architect, I think it was at a university, it designed it. And in the past, they used to do it so that everything was centered around a courtyard. So there was a large green area, and along the sides of this square, they always put up buildings. And then they said, okay, we're done. And then everyone said, yeah, but the courtyard's just grass. There's nothing there. Shouldn't there be some kind of path? The architect said, no, we're not making a path. Instead, for the next 4 or 5 months, we'll just let the students, the teachers, the professors, we'll just let them walk. And wherever they walk, that's where we'll build the path. So he just did it the other way around. He said, okay, we're not going to decide where the path goes. They will. And wherever they walk, that's where we'll build the path afterward. Let me put it this way. My path is what matters. Your path determines where you end up. Your path determines which space you enter. That's why Jesus says, I am the way. He says, I am the way. And if you look again at what Paul says, but now, apart from the law, God's righteousness, apart from the law, has been revealed. It's important that we understand this. Without liturgy, without theology, without compulsion, without you have to, without condemnation. You'll see that in Romans 8. He says, if you haven't done that, then you just won't make it. But on the other hand, if you do too much of that, you won't make it either. So find your balance. So that was kind of it. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8, and he says, hey, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has already set us free from the law of sin and death. It has set us free from the you must so that you have. It has already set you free. So the way is clear from this you must. It is free from this compulsion. Let me show some character again. He basically argues his way back in. There was a moment once that my house, the Jehovah's Witnesses were at our place. And I was basically undercover. They didn't know that I read the Bible from time to time. And they had, I think, in their topic, in their watchtower, they had just covered the creation story. And then we talked about it, and I just asked them, hey, why the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Why? And the answer was terrible. I mean, the answer was really terrible. I don't want to denounce them, not at all. They were such great, nice, sweet people. Really, they were just totally genuine, really nice. The answer was terrible, but let me tell you something. It did something to me. It affected me because in that moment, I understood for the first time what God means by free will. At that point, I'd already been a believer for 12 years in my garden and facing basically Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's. But for the first time, I understood what God means by this idea of free will. Do you remember what Eve says about the tree when she sees it? She says, hey, it's desirable, it's beautiful to look at, and the fruit must be good to eat. She says, it's desirable. Ultimately, she says, the tree with the fruit that could be your downfall is desirable. That really struck me, because God doesn't just say, last week a brown bear tried to eat a fish and there were leftovers. It stinks. There are maggots coming out. I don't know. The guts are just lying there. And he says, hey, Adam, please don't eat the fish. Because if you eat the fish, then things between us just won't be the same as they've been up to now. You know, it's like going to vote in North Korea. It's the same thing. That's not a real choice. That's not a real choice. The Kims get elected with 99.98%. The other 0.02% is just because they're too humble to vote for themselves. Yeah, we're making good progress. Okay, so God doesn't just put this fish in front of them and say, hey, you really can't eat this one. But instead, he creates something that, at least on the outside, looked just as wonderful and beautiful as the relationship between him and the human. So that he can be sure in his heart that you have a choice. It has to be a choice. It is allowed to be a choice. With this wow fruit and wow tree, he is ensured that when you come to him, you do so with 100% voluntary commitment and passion. You come to him. Amen. Jesus puts it this way. I want mercy, not sacrifice. I want, when you come to me, I don't just want obedience, because there is so much more beyond obedience. There is so much more inside. And God makes it clear and says, hey, I love your heart. And I like it when you come to me, that you are with me with 100% of your heart. Amen. Also, say character again. Okay, God loves our heart. And on the other hand, I just wanted to say that now because we prayed for it earlier. We prayed and said, Jesus is in. And we prayed that Jesus would also be in. For the people out there, that it's like a movement where they say, hey, Jesus, you shine. It's amazing. It's wonderful to have you, Jesus. In our lives, it's just, wow, that really moves me. That's what we're praying for. By the way, that's not limited to Germany. We're praying for that in Austria too. That this in movement, that Jesus is in, but really truly moves all of Europe. Moves all Europe. And the flip side of this coin of voluntariness, dear friends, is exactly that. That means I am convinced that we as a movement, as the Glory Life Church, but fundamentally as the body of Christ as a whole, are called to represent exactly this glory of God, this kingship, in the way we worship our God, in the way we treat each other, in the way we live, in how we stand by the word of God, in how we position ourselves toward God, so that people out there who don't have it will say, hey, what you have, I want that too. What you have on a large scale, I want to have too, because I can't find that anywhere else in the world. Amen. I can't find that in the world. So on the one hand, God ensures that when you are with him, it is of your own free will. That's when you somehow slipped through and you say, oh, you're here. But that you really truly made the decision with all your heart, with full awareness, and with all your strength, that you said, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. And at the same time, he says, hey, if you've done that, if you want to continue living this kind of faith and relationship with me, then I want it to be visible to others. That this power of relationship that is among us, this power of voluntariness, you know, doesn't matter. I have 5 children. I live in a house with 6 women. Amen. Do you know how strange it is for me when you come into an empty hotel room? How strange it is when nobody wants anything from you for 10 minutes. And I told Valerie ahead of time, hey, you can just go to the bathroom anytime you want. You can come by anytime you want. The doors are always wide open for you. There is a powerful, whole new anointing resting on me right now. Okay, so God wants to make sure that it's voluntary. God wants to make sure that this voluntariness, this power, is also represented outwardly, that we always make sure that everything we do is never out of compulsion. And that's what I wanted to say earlier about my kids. You know, sometimes they start heading down a path where you think, this could get tight. But then you have 2 options. You either go and say, okay, now, out of necessity, I take the law and start forbidding things. Or you go into a spiritual space and loosen and bind things so that they have the path and the security of knowing they are with God. Amen. Because there is a spiritual place where you will always find God. Always God. You'll always find God there. That's why Jesus says, hey, I am the way. If you remain in me and I in you, then together we will ensure that we always reach our goal. And that is the heart of our Father. And when we have entered this space, let me tell you, this is the place where transformation happens. This is the place where change happens. This is the place where our character, our innermost being, is changed and permeated by his presence, by his glory, so that outwardly you appear completely different. You appear completely different. This past weekend, we had Pastor Jorg and Pastor Arena with us again. They heard the testimony about trimming the hedges. You probably know the story of how Pastor George was trimming hedges. And simply, what surrounds him, his glory, simply that, was responsible for the fact that someone walking by behind him suddenly shouted, hey, I'm healed. Yes. Hey, that's it, you know? That's when everything around you changes. It's when everything around you changes. Where I live right on the border between the city and the countryside. In Poulton, it's like there's no smooth transition. For me, it's like this. I live 5 minutes away from downtown. And at the same time, when I have to go there, sometimes I have to stop because ducks are crossing the road. Or rabbits are running across the field. Then sometimes you have to stop your car. And one time I was driving there, and there was this field right next to me. And there was a tractor driving by, plowing with some kind of plow, whatever it's called. And in that moment, God spoke to me and said, "Hey, my friend, that's repentance. That's repentance. If you really want to understand it, that's what repentance is. Repentance means you let the Holy Spirit work so deeply in your character that everything that's oriented toward the earth is brought back upward." He brings it back up, and at the same time, he loosens everything that is hard in your life so that his glory, his substance, his oxygen can enter you again, so that the ground you represent is simply receptive again to what God has for you. Amen. This requires repentance. Hooray, repentance! And that's the best we can do. Ultimately, it really is the best thing we can do. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 24, it says, and you know this Bible verse, "A grain of wheat is planted from heaven into the earth." Okay, again, where does the grain of wheat come from? From heaven. The grain of wheat has a spiritual DNA. Okay, and a spiritual DNA ultimately isn't necessarily made or designed to survive in a natural world. It can't survive in a character that hasn't been born again. You understand? So how is that supposed to work if you're constantly speaking negatively? How is the seed of healing supposed to grow in you? How is that supposed to work? How is love supposed to grow in you if you're always speaking badly about other people? That can't work. Okay, so that's why God says in the phase we're in of repentance, it's important and crucial that we let God shape our character, that we acquire a truly glorious character. Amen. That we are imbued with glory in every phase of our lives. This is crucial for this phase. Why with that? Again, we radiate what is inside us. You know Hebrews 1, where he says that Jesus is the radiance of his glory? Glory radiates through him. Hey, glory shines through you. Tell your neighbors, through you, glory shines forth. Amen. Hey, who thinks this is great? That's absolutely fantastic. Watch out. And now he's given us a tool. And I want to point out again at the beginning that we're not talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but rather about creating an atmosphere, creating a space within you as a person, where this supernatural seed, which actually isn't meant to survive in a natural person, can still grow. Why? Because you are born again. A seed sent from heaven can't grow in a natural person, but it can thrive in a son or daughter who is born again. I couldn't think of any word other than thrive right now. But it can grow in them, and I believe that we all want together, or that the fruit of the Spirit, and you all know it, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is simply visible in us. Amen. We want that. We don't just want the gifts. We love the gifts, don't we? We love the gifts, but we also want the fruit because we want the whole Jesus. Amen. We want the fruit too. We want everything from him. Okay, so that's why we want to go into this room that tells us, hey, okay, then let's just be changed. You have to be ready for that. You understand? You have to want that too. This doesn't happen for nothing. Wow, grace saves, but you must want it. So let's continue and open to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Peter says, "So also apply all diligence and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control." Now it's getting serious. And to self-control perseverance. But in perseverance godliness, and in godliness brotherly love, and in brotherly love love. Amen. For if these things, says Peter, are present and increasing among you, say once and increase, so that you do not become lazy or fruitless in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell your neighbors once, you are not fruitless. You're not fruitless. The first thing Peter says, he says, diligence. Apply all your diligence. Okay? We have heard before that grace is free. It's a gift. You contributed absolutely nothing. Unless you were somehow there 2,000 years ago and somehow took care of it with Jesus for yourself, but you weren't. So that means you really didn't contribute anything at all. But ultimately, diligence, zeal, ambition, the drive to do something is not opposed to grace. It's not a contradiction in itself. Ultimately, it only goes against the idea that if you do something, you deserve something. That's what it's directed against. But grace itself isn't against, well, what? George said it to us on Saturday. If you're a son, if you're a daughter, then you're not called to just sit around on your couch all the time, doing nothing else with your life, just thinking, I'm a son and that's enough. Or I'm a daughter and that's it. Everything I do is religious. We're joking about it now, but there really is a movement like that in the body of Christ. And I say a lot of potential is lost that way. An incredible amount of potential is being lost. And I'm saying it now, you can say it later, but I really think that this is simply bad theology. It is simply bad theology. It's not theology that will get you there. And that's why I say, that's why we love Glory Life. We in Austria. We love Clay Life. Why? Because one of the aspects is that we ensure that the gospel we proclaim is not just forgiveness of sins, as we have heard before. It's so much more. It is so much more than just forgiveness of sins. It is important. It must never be missing. Confession of sins, i.e. forgiveness of sins, repentance, must never be omitted. Only from that does truly stable, genuine faith emerge. But that's not the end of the line. It's not where God wants to keep us trapped in a hamster wheel forever. You get what I mean? Because the danger is, if we only preach forgiveness of sins, we end up with a kind of gospel where we never have to change. You just need to have faith inside you, enough faith to believe that when you sinned, the blood of Jesus is stronger. 1 John 1:9. You confess your sins, you bring them into the light, you believe in the power of Jesus' blood, and then you move on. But you don't have to change for that. But let me tell you one thing. When Jesus says, I am the way and I will lead you into the heart of my Father, that's exactly where transformation happens. Transformation, change. So at the same time, let's make sure we're preaching a gospel that's more than just forgiveness of sins, but that it's what Jesus says in Matthew 8:35. He says, hey, I go around. Have you ever gone around like that? I go around, he went into their synagogues, he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, he healed every disease, every infirmity, he took authority over every spirit, he commanded every unclean spirit to leave the body, the synagogue, the room, the place, and then he gathered his people and said, hey, now you've seen this with me, now I give you authority and you do exactly the same. So the gospel of the kingdom of God is not just forgiveness of sins, but also healing and deliverance. To take authority, and all these things that, you know, that you are familiar with. And for that, it's necessary that we say, Jesus, you have access to every area of my character. In every area of my character. And yes, I also wholeheartedly commit myself to this, because I don't just pick out the easy parts and say, oh, grace, everything is fine. Instead, I say, yes, Peter talks about diligence. We know it from Paul. He says, hey, during the day I worked among you, in the evening, I preached the gospel to you for so long that someone fell out the window. Well, that is exactly what we consider to be our standard, right? Okay, you have about 20 minutes now. 20 minutes and no window. So Peter says diligence. Diligence means zeal. I'll spare you the fun of pronouncing it in Greek. But it translates as zeal, diligence, seriousness. It means not hectic activities, but focused and determined effort. Amen. Focus, determined effort. We position ourselves, as we heard before, in the right place. We position ourselves correctly in relation to the Word. Go to God to receive everything that the Word of God has for you. That's what hard work says. And again, diligence pays off. Diligence is not something I earn through it. Not at all. But it catapults you out of this hamster wheel of passivity. So let's not always just focus on the fruit of the Spirit and only on character. He just says that the prerequisite for letting your character be changed is ultimately diligence. He says, hey, that doesn't just happen on its own. That doesn't just happen on its own, okay? And then he says, virtue. Okay, so once again, let me put it briefly. He says, your diligence leads to virtue in your faith. And in virtue, knowledge, what is virtue? And that's important to me. Actually, that's the main reason I came here. A little bit for the applause, but mainly for this point. Virtue means moral excellence, moral quality, excellence, exemplary life. Hey, who knows that our God is not a president, but a king? Amen. That he is king in every phase of his being. And he says, hey, you have something in your character. I'm going to unleash something in your character. I call that virtue, and it reflects excellence. Namely, in every part of your life, in every part and on every day of your life. So not just on Sunday from 10 to 2, but on Monday from 10 to 2 as well. That's crucial. God simply wants to release something in our character, a kingship, a way of thinking like a king, an excellence where you say, hey, maybe I was successful before. Maybe I wasn't doing too badly before, but now I'm excellent. Now I reflect kingship. Now I reflect greatness. I'm just saying, hey, and as long as that's not finished yet, we're not finished yet. So I've decided for myself, as long as insane, Paulton, there are no golden streets. We're not done yet. Okay. And in Filtershot. Okay, so God wants to release kingship in you. And he says, I'm not limiting that to just one area, but I'm applying it to every part of your life. So our task should be, in quotes, not to stand in the way of the Holy Spirit as much as possible, put very diplomatically, not to stand in the way so that he always has the opportunity and the ability to release kingship and excellence in us. Let's just not limit God. And again, we're not even talking about the fruit of the Spirit yet, but just about the atmosphere in which the fruit of the Spirit can even begin to grow. Character. So he says, I'm releasing kingship within you. I'm releasing kingship in a movement. In every area, virtue. And then he says in Luke 16:10, Jesus says, whoever is faithful in the least is also faithful in much. And whoever is unfaithful in the least, let's say the least is this worldly system, the lesser system, whoever is unjust in the lesser system will also be unjust in the heavenly system. They will also be that way in heaven. That's why he says, hey, it's already important that your character is shaped here in this world, that your character is already being changed here in this world. This doesn't happen sometime far off in the future, but he says, hey, I want to release it in you right now. I want to release it in you now. Okay, and after virtue, he says, knowledge. Y'all know it, and he can even pronounce it. Gnosis. Okay, it means insight, practical understanding, spiritual wisdom in daily life. Why is the Bible so attractive? Or why is Jesus so popular? Because it's so practical. Do you understand? It's practical. Who did he appoint? Fisher. People who were fishing, the customs officers, do you understand? He himself was the son of a carpenter. He named very simple things in a very practical way. Do you understand? Let's not make it out to be more important than it is. Just as the word of God says about us, that we were healed 2,000 years ago. Yes, okay. Let's not make a theology out of why we shouldn't be it. Exists. Amen. His word says it all. realization means, hey, that's perfectly clear to me. I become one with the word. Who knows that Adam knew Eve? He recognized her. You know what that means. And then the children came along. So he made one with them. He didn't just read it. He didn't just say, yeah, okay, that's pretty good. I don't just believe in Jesus, but we believe Jesus, right? We believe Jesus. That's what realization means, becoming one with the word of God. So in our choir team, if you know the book Spiritual Passion, we've been doing it now for 3-4 months or even longer. Now we do prayer, we keep going through different topics or things where we say, this is what God is highlighting in our lives right now, and this is what he wants to bring out in us as a group, as a church. But at the same time, we do one thing. Every year, we read through the entire Bible once. It's important, dear ones. It's important. From September to December, we read the New Testament, and now we're working through the Old Testament. It's the 5th month in the Old Testament. It's important that you develop a routine for this. When Peter talks about diligence, it's important for us to stick with it, that we accumulate this knowledge. Let me just quickly tell you how I became a believer. I became a believer through my wife. That's not meant to make me look bad, but I became a believer through my wife. God had actually paved so many ways in my life beforehand, but I didn't notice any of them. I miss every single one. And then he gave me a woman I didn't even know, and I fell in love with her in 0.3 seconds. She was a believer, and I'm still in love with her. By the way, she's the mother of my 5 children. Oh, right, the mother of my 5 children? And her name is the same as mine. That makes things very convenient. And in any case, I became a believer through her. And she gave me a Bible. And I couldn't make anything of faith. And I was in my student apartment. And then I started reading the word for 2 weeks. And it drove me crazy, really. I didn't understand anything, absolutely nothing, not a thing. And I had just finished high school. And when it came to studying, I knew all about how to approach things strategically so you'd remember them. That was all familiar to me. Didn't understand a thing, nothing. Read for 2 weeks, at least 4 to 6 hours a day, I read through and made it through the Gospel of Matthew. And I read a bit of Acts of the Apostles. Then I closed it and said, hey guys, this just isn't for me. I don't know what's in there, but it's just not for me. It's never going to be my thing either. And then I said, okay, I'll just go my own way. I went my own way, walked my own path, which would have led me to a place where I definitely wouldn't find God. And then God intervened in the subway by just suddenly giving me a shower in the Holy Spirit without me even knowing what that actually meant. But in that moment, I knew that everything that had happened, everything he had written was true. It was real, and I had to give my life to Jesus. And I ran and then just gave my life to Jesus in my apartment. You get what I mean? And he said, hey, I turned water into wine, and now I'm doing it with you. You've been drawing water mindlessly for 2 weeks now. You had absolutely no idea what you were doing. Not at all. And we saw it. But in one moment, I had what you have done has been transformed into a divine substance of glory in your life. And I tell you, at that moment, everything was different. That's why it's important that you stick with it. It's important that you stay indoors. Amen. Okay, then, he says. The next thing he says is abstinence or self-control. Who knows verse 2? Timothy 1:7, we have not been given a spirit of weakness, no spirit of discontent, no spirit of complaining, no spirit of, we have received not a spirit of doubt, but a spirit of power. Amen. Let's say force. It also means self-control. This shows that things usually get heated in those situations, so self-control is essential. When can I start? He says self-control is simply a tool you were given to exercise domination, to exercise dominion in the spirit over your instincts in the flesh and over your emotions in your soul. So when God says, hey, you should rule, that doesn't mean you should go out and find some people. or start something, and then you lay down the rules. Instead, he says, hey, you should rule, but first you should rule over your own body and your emotions. That's what it means when we say, hey, we've received the Spirit. It's important, if we want the fruit of the Spirit to become visible in us, that we put this into practice, dear friends. Once again, we're not yet at the seed that can survive on its own. If you don't automate self-discipline in your life, again, it's exhausting, it's everything, whatever. But if you don't automate it in your life, then this supernatural seed has a harder time growing. Let's put it this way, okay? So the word of God simply calls us into this character of glory. So the next word is aushaben, to have. Steadfast, patient, loyal, don't give up under pressure. Paul tells him, well, I've made up my mind. In the epistle to the Hebrews, Paul says, we will not turn back. Amen. We will not back down. We are a movement. We are a group. We are a community. When things get tough, hey, we don't back down. Amen. We will stay where God has placed us. And if it's difficult, then we say thank you. Because we also find joy in suffering. As Paul says, we rejoice in times of need. We rejoice in fasting, in hunger, in thirst. We are happy when we have a lot and also when we have little. We simply made a decision. We are happy. Amen. Amen. And then we have the next thing what should define our character is the word godliness, reverence, piety. We've already heard about it. That's the character. Notice what I said earlier. When it comes to repentance, it's this radical turning around, turning everything that is worldly oriented upside down and centering it on God. Paul tells Timothy, practice godliness, practice it. Practice, just practice living a life in fellowship with God and radiating his life in every area of your life. Again, when we radiate kingship, it means we radiate him personally. You know, the next time we're walking around somewhere or going from place to place, let's just be aware that we're radiating him. Amen. That we represent him, that everything we are, everything we do radiates like a king. Let me tell you one thing. This will change your life. And that's from your neighbors and from everyone you meet while walking. Amen. Okay. And that then leads to brotherly love. Again, this is still the quality we need in our character so that the fruit of love can even come forth. Okay. Brotherly love means Philadelphia. I can't pronounce it either. The love for your brother and genuine affection, practical care for your neighbors right now, and for everyone else who belongs. Yours, we are one in Christ. With all the differences we have, because God says, once again, he never took away this aspect of free will. He poured out the Spirit on what? On all flesh. But he left you unique. He didn't make you into a robot. He didn't make everyone the same and call it communism. Okay, now let's all look at each other. But he simply completely preserved within our identity, but at the same time, a new being was planted within us, supernatural. And this being automatically loves the one who carries this same being within themselves. Amen. So, and from this brotherly love, from this love comes the greatest aspect we need, which is love itself. Amen. Hey, how does the world recognize the disciples? About love. Through love for one another. And I think that's the appeal, or rather the call from God, this striving from God, what he means when it comes to repentance. When he says turn back, he wants to remind us of this love, of representing his love for us, of representing his affection, the matters of his heart. Everything that concerns us, how much he loves us, how much he wants to bring us into a relationship. Again, in every way. Not just in your healing, not just in your finances, but he says, hey, not just sacrifices, not just obedience. I want mercy, which means I want your whole heart. I want you to have an identity. I want you to have an ability within you so that every seed I pour out from heaven in abundance for you at any time, that I pour out, spread, see from heaven into you, that you also realize that no potential, no word returns empty. Are you with me on this? And then he says, and again, this is not against work. He says, apply all your diligence. Let us simply strive to make our soil fertile. Amen. Let's just strive. Be focused when we talk about repentance. We want to present him. We want to represent him. We want to actively live out his kingship. That's Bursa. As Pastor George said, hey, we actively turn away from everything that contradicts that. And at the same time, we actively turn to that in which we believe. Let's say Jesus is Lord. He is our King. Amen. Thanks. Thank you for your attention.
Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy it? What a wonderful, excellent word. Thank you very much. That's great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did you eat well tonight? Let's give Jesus a round of applause for his good word. Hallelujah. So he sends his word to heal you physically, and he sends his word to shape your character and make you excellent. That's an interesting word too, isn't it? Travel to the Lord. So good. Amen. So wonderful. Hallelujah. Yes, we are so happy about what God is doing in Austria, including at Glory Life Street, St. Poten. We had a really great time. Last Saturday, there all day. We had a glory activation day. That was really, really good. Some people have also converted. There were also people there who were just starting out. And many miracles have happened. God is powerfully at work. So if you're from Austria and within a reasonable driving distance, if you're watching St. Paulton, then I'll tell you, here is your pastor. Amen. Yeah, that's great. That's so. So an hour's drive is nothing, okay? Good. So, my dears, now let's take a look inside. Tonight, into this brain on. Wait, there's something before that. Oh, come on, we'll do that while we're watching. Because we're also going to bless the candy for the esoteric fair. This weekend is, yes, the esoteric fair. And a big team of ours is heading there. Astrid is giving talks again, praise the Lord, about healing. That's great. The esoteric folks need healing and deliverance too. And various other good things. Astrid will be giving talks again, and we'll be handing out candy there. And we've already received testimonies many times at the esoteric fair. The people walking around there are sometimes pretty spiritually sensitive. That means they can sense what's going on. We've experienced it so many times that people have come up to us or to some of us individually and said, the light emanates from you. Or you said, the strongest light in this room is coming from your stand, without them knowing what was going on. And so we want you to feel it when we hand you these little packets of gummy bears. We want you to feel that glory also emanates from these gummy bears. Amen. Praise the Lord. That means you really, oh, come on, let's just bless it now because I've already said so much about it. So we want you to immediately feel that true glory is emanating from this, that they not only eat gummy bears, but that the sweetness of heaven emanates from them. This is much healthier than eating gummy bears on the side. But okay, praise the Lord. Yes, we bless these gummy bears and these packets and everyone who touches them, and we release it, Lord, just like with the garments and cloths, that you really use it as a point of contact for your glory, that people touch these gummy bears and say, wow, what's on this? Yes, we've actually experienced the opposite at esoteric fairs, where some people didn't want to take the gummy bears because they felt the power on them was so strong and because they were operating in a different energy. That's interesting. You can even get scared of gummy bears if you're energetically misaligned. Hallelujah. But most of the time, we would say they take it and they are touched. And the power of God touches them and changes them. And we also thank you for this weekend at the esoteric fair. We thank you that many will be converted there, that many will come to the knowledge of the truth, and that many healings and miracles will happen. In Jesus' name, we also place the whole team under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for shining brightly through everyone, especially Astrid when she gives the lectures. Thank you for shining powerfully through you and for bringing about many healings and miracles. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So if you want to taste blessed gummy bears, then you have to come to the esoteric fair and to our stand. Okay, best to cooperate. Yes, sometimes you're amazed at who you see at the esoteric fair. We've already discovered quite a few Christians there who aren't necessarily involved with Glory Life, but at least not fully. But we have already discovered people there who had previously attended our church service and who then went looking for something new at the esoteric fair. So we really do search for everything that's lost, and we'll bring you back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, now we take a collection and ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, what may I see tonight? What may I contribute tonight? Into this wonderful soil of your glory and your work, simply that you work everywhere, in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and beyond, in the nations. Sow your seed in faith. That's also important. You connect in faith with God's promise. When you give, even more will be given back to you. God also watches over this word to fulfill it. So important. You never need to be afraid that if you give to God in faith, you'll end up with less. You will always have more. You can't give yourself into poverty. At most, you can save yourself into poverty. That's settled. But giving an arm is not possible. Prussian rulers. Okay, let's pass them through. You do what he showed you. If you are watching via live stream, the information will be displayed to you. Then you can pay by bank transfer, PayPal, or credit card. While you're reading it through, I'll just read a couple of things from Glory House. This is where it is now. Glory House, Osterbergen. Among other things, the following happened the last time. One Glory House participant had been suffering from a pinched sciatic nerve for a month with severe pain radiating down her leg. We prayed together. The next day, upon waking up, she noticed that she was no longer in pain. Praise the Lord. Something else. A Glory House participant had been struggling with severe sleep disorders for 6 years and could only sleep with strong medication, usually only about 2 hours per night. That's really tough. After the prayer at Glory House, she wrote the next day that she went to bed without any medication, and she slept peacefully and straight through from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. Hallelujah. It gets even better. A Glory Host participant had an accident many years ago in which his nose was broken. Since then, he couldn't smell anything and couldn't perceive any scents. We prayed for him. Afterwards, when he went for a walk, he was suddenly able to smell the blooming trees in spring again and was completely surprised. After such a long time, he can now perceive sense again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then, during worship, two children saw Jesus and described what he looked like. That's amazing, too. And then someone else was healed in their knee and so on and so forth. Praise the Lord. All in all, it was a wonderful Glory House evening. Isn't it amazing to be in the Glory House? Hallelujah. We're also happy that our Glory House leaders from Saxony are here tonight. Praise the Lord. That's just awesome. I'm not surprised that things are growing and flourishing in Saxony. They've already started a second Glory House day. I'm not surprised, because look at that. They travel 5 hours by train to get here tonight. Or by car. And we'll drive back tomorrow morning at 5, another 5 hours. This is awesome to be here at the Glory Live School. That's hunger. Amen. That's hunger. Some people complain even if they have to drive for an hour. And some are participating via live stream, even though they live only 10 minutes away. This is now a transfer. On Sunday, the discussion continues with the topic of penance. Amen. Are you praising that? Okay. In Jesus' name. Now we will bless the collection.